Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund, here with you. Read something interesting about how rocker Alice Cooper found an Andy Warhol painting in his house, and he auctioned it off a couple of days ago. Coleman, did you see how much he got for that? Because the story went that Alice Cooper had this old Andy Warhol painting for a long time, and he had all but forgotten that he owned an Andy Warhol silkscreen. And evidently Alice Cooper was pretty good friends with the late actor Dennis Hopper. And Dennis Hopper told them that he was selling some of his own Andy Warhols when they had lunch about a decade ago. And evidently, again, Alice Cooper forgot that he owned an Andy Warhol, and recently, I don't know if he was just going through things in his garage or whatever he was doing, he found his original Andy Warhol painting. You know, what's wild is, and Alice Cooper said that he never hung it up. You know, you would think if you had an original Andy Warhol painting, you would hang it up inside your house, but evidently Alice Cooper's offstage tastes and aesthetic doesn't quite fit with Andy Warhol original paintings. So anyways, Alice Cooper realized that he had this thing, he'd forgotten about it, and I know he put it up for auction. Didn't they have an auction a couple of days ago?
Yeah, it doesn't say exactly how much it got, but it said it's estimated to be between 2.5 and 4.5 million.
Well, it must be nice to forget that you own something worth that much money.
That goes to show you that art is subjective. This dude had a Andy Warhol picture, but he's so successful in his own right that he just put it in his garage. He didn't even care about it. He's like, all right, I'll take it. I'm guilty of that, too. I'm guilty of people buying me birthday gifts and Christmas gifts, and I don't know the value of it, so I just put it up somewhere and forget about it. And people are like, did you ever use it, or did you ever? I'm like, no. Like, oh, man, it was worth this. I'm like, I didn't know.
This painting, Andy Warhol painted in 1964, and it's called Little Electric Chair. It's a silkscreen. Although, you know, a Little Electric Chair, that sounds perfect for Alice Cooper. I mean,
that's probably why they gave it to him. Like, hey, this sounds like it could fit your personality.
Yeah. That's Warhol's Death and Disaster series. It was kept in storage for nearly 40 years before Alice Cooper dug it out. And his old friend who he had lunch with, Dennis Hopper, is the reason why. And evidently the painting was in perfect shape.
Because he never used it out. He never hung it up. He forgot he had it.
That painting did do a stint in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland there. I mentioned I've been to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It is so cool. It really is. And so that Andy Warhol original painting that was given to Alice Cooper about 40 years ago and then just stuck in storage. It sold a couple of days ago at auction.
You have a lot of rock memorabilia in your house, John. You ever thought about auctioning some of it off just to see how much it would fetch?
I don't think much of what I have would be worth huge money. The small things I have mean a lot to me, because and what I have mostly are a few platinum and gold records that happen to have my name on them, because I was the music director at a new rock station in Boston for upwards of a decade back in the 90s. That was WAAF, when we were breaking all of these bands, a lot of them you hear now here on classic rock. But I mean, that they have my name on them, and I have something that I really like. It's blown up and framed when Guns N' Roses was on the cover of Rolling Stone magazine. I've got that autographed by all the guys in Guns N' Roses, except Izzy Stradlin, and he's on the cover. I've always said if I could ever find him, I don't want to stalk him, but I got to put a Sharpie in my pocket and take that framed piece and go find Izzy Stradlin. He's the last guy that needs to sign it, but it's signed by the rest of the Guns N' Roses guys.
But just go tweet him. Just say, hey, can you sign this for me next time you're in New Orleans?
I just thought it was cool that Alice Cooper had an Andy Warhol painting for 40 years that he just stashed in storage, and now he decided to take it out. Gene Simmons is selling. He owns a few houses. Gene Simmons from Kiss. Yeah, he's selling a couple of more of his houses. It looks like some of these old rockers are starting to cash in. They're thinking, hey, you know, not getting any younger, you use this cash.
Yeah, they've been selling their publishing rights and everything these days.
Well, the older musicians sell publishing rights because musicians don't make money like they used to make money selling albums, selling records, selling CDs and cassette tapes. Yep. They because of the internet. They don't make nearly the money that they used to make. And so that's why some of these legendary songwriters and musicians have been selling the rights to their songs for millions of dollars. That's a way that they're cashing in as well. So, all right. Coming up on the show this morning. You know, Google says that more people are Googling the 90s decade more than any other decade recently. And some people were wondering why, but I've got a cool list of reasons why people love the 90s. It's hard to believe it was so long ago, the 90s. Stay tuned for that. And Louisiana lifted its mask mandate yesterday. That goes into effect today. Not New Orleans yet, though. New Orleans is still doing its own thing and checking numbers. I can't wait till the city gets rid of that damn mandate. Hang out with us. A lot to get to on the show this morning. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning, J.O. here. So this past Sunday, Tony Romo, who is the lead number one color commentator when it comes to football broadcasters for CBS. Tony Romo, and you know, he's been doing really well at that. He's good. If you listen to Tony Romo, for the most part, he's good. He's a guy that had no broadcasting experience, and they just when he retired, from the NFL because of injury. CBS just signed him to a contract. They put him in the broadcast booth, and he's done really well. As a matter of fact, he did so well that he signed a contract that was much bigger than his broadcast partner, Jim Nantz, who does the play-by-play and has been at CBS for decades. And then Jim Nantz wasn't happy about that. Jim Nantz wanted more money after they gave Tony Romo more money than they gave him.
Of course he did.
At CBS. But Tony Romo does a good job in the broadcast booth as color analyst. But he said something this past Sunday during a game that has got him under fire from the Twitter mob. He was calling the Tampa Bay Buccaneers blowout over the Chicago Bears. And when Tom Brady threw his 600th career touchdown pass, and we've talked about that on this show on Monday and even a little bit yesterday because of what happened after that 600th touchdown pass, he threw it to Tampa Bay wide receiver Mike Evans, who then ran to the crowd behind the end zone and gave the ball to a fan. But Evans didn't realize that was a historic ball he just gave away, because no human being in the history of human beings has ever thrown 600 touchdown passes in the NFL. And by the way, Tom Brady, those are just regular season touchdown passes. In the postseason, in the playoffs and Super Bowls, Tom Brady has another 84 touchdown passes. So he's moving in on 700 total.
Yeah, but isn't every touchdown ball that he throws at this point is historic because nobody's ever done it before, no matter what the number is? I wonder why we focus so much on the whole numbers, like 600.
Like round numbers. Round numbers.
It just sounds better. But every ball he throws from this point on is still more balls than anybody has ever thrown in history of the NFL.
Yeah, there's a lot of people like me that aren't great in math. And so the round number is much easier. But anyways, so on Sunday, when Tom Brady throws his 600th career touchdown pass to Mike Evans, Mike Evans gives it to a fan, and then they realize, oh, you got to go get that ball back. And then Tampa Bay Buccaneers sent someone who works for them over to the stands and negotiated. And at first, all the fan got was $1,000 to spend in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers team store. But that has since gone up. He not only has gotten that, he got a couple of Tom Brady autographed jerseys. He got an autographed Mike Evans jersey, the wide receiver. And he got the cleats Mike Evans was wearing when he caught the ball. The game-worn cleats.
Ew.
He also got a helmet. And then Tom Brady gave him a Bitcoin, which, from what I understand, on Monday was worth $63,000, but I think it went down in its value to $54,000 on Tuesday. I guess it goes up and down like the stock market.
I have no idea how Bitcoin works.
So that fan ended up making out, and he got season tickets, two of them, for the Buccaneers for the rest of this year and all of next year. So, because Tom Brady wanted that ball back, and he wanted to put that in his collection. Well, while the Tampa Bay Buccaneers employee was negotiating with the fan, because the camera was right there showing it, Tony Romo said, how about trading the ball back for a date with his wife, Gisele Bundchen?
Ooh.
The supermodel. And evidently, he said it a couple of times as a Tampa Bay staffer negotiated with the fan, Tony Romo pretended to narrate the exchange on the broadcast. A date with Giselle, and I'm in, Romo said, acting as the fan. Okay, Tom, we'll do it. One time, you got it, Romo continued, pretending to voice the Buccaneers official. Some people heard that, went right to social media, went right to Twitter, and then they said, how dare you, Tony Romo? You know, you can't trade a date with a man's wife for a football. All he was doing, Tony Romo, was having a little bit of fun.
Clearly. Clearly he was having fun, and I found it to be hilarious. That was funny.
Well, a few of the tweets are here, Coleman. One person tweeted, Tony Romo suggesting Brady trade a date with his wife for his 600th touchdown ball is just weird/borderline creepy. Dude is a good broadcaster, but so awkward sometime. I don't think what Romo said was funny. It was tasteless, but that's just me, another fan tweeted. More fans continued to call out Tony Romo, along with his boss, CBS, for airing the commentary. Why do we need to listen to Tony Romo fantasize about trading a football for a day with Giselle? What does Mr. Romo presume would happen with Giselle during that day she has been traded like property for a football? One person tweeted.
You know what the problem is with these tweets? They're assuming that Tony Romo meant it. Like this is something that he would actually want the negotiators to suggest. These people actually believe that Tony Romo, in some way, shape, or form, thought that this could come into fruition when everybody with any sort of intelligence knows he was just gagging around.
It was a joke.
It was slow. The camera was on him. He's in a broadcast booth. They're trying to make it entertaining. He just comes spewing off the top of his head. You know, and I would love to challenge these people who like to criticize commentators, who like to criticize broadcasters for saying something they don't like. You try being a broadcaster and try to fill up time for so many hours and keep it entertaining, keep it lighthearted, you know, keep the crowd into it and not say nothing kind of boneheaded, just stupid every now and then.
But it was a joke. And look, Tony Romo has a really, really, really good-looking wife.
I would assume most football players do, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, she's hot like Giselle Bundchen is hot. And so I'm sure Tony Romo would never trade his own wife for a football.
But would he care?
At least a date, one date with his wife for a football.
But he think Tony Romo would care if somebody joked about somebody trading his wife for a football?
No, probably not.
See, that's exactly my point.
And I don't think Tom Brady really cared about this.
No, when you have a hot wife, you expect that kind of behavior from other people. It's like, if you know you're dating a supermodel, you know other people are going to talk about your supermodel wife, right?
I mean, Tom Brady is married to one of the most beautiful women on the planet. So, but this is where we're at in 2021, where seemingly we used to be able to joke about things. And now, you know, oh, how dare you? You like, she's some piece of property, somebody else tweeted. Like a piece of property. Yeah, let me trade my wife for a day for a football. And that's how some people on Twitter were. And but again, we never heard anything negative from Tom Brady. And
have you ever seen an NFL quarterback with a not so attractive wife?
I'm trying to think.
I can't think of any.
Not off the top of my head. No. Well, anyways. All right. Coming up on the show. The Saints got a little bit of bad news yesterday. And they're doing something in another state that I wish they would do here in the city of New Orleans. That's going to be this morning's Big O. I'm going to tell you what that is coming up. We have a lot to get to on the show this morning. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only. classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. So, according to the Census Bureau, there is a growing Kurdish community in Wisconsin. They're known as cheese curds. And on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning, I'm John Osterlind. Yesterday, here in the state of Louisiana, our governor, John Taco Bell Edwards, lifted the statewide mask mandate.
Yeah!
He had a press conference yesterday afternoon, and he said starting today, no more mask mandate in the state of Louisiana because our coronavirus numbers are looking good. But he did keep the mask mandate in place for school children, kindergartners through 12th graders. Now, schools are allowed to opt out of the mask mandate if they follow the CDC, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, their quarantine policy. And I have, I saw some of my Facebook friends who have children in schools, some in Catholic schools. They posted letters that they got from their Catholic schools late yesterday afternoon, early last night, that said our school will not mandate that children wear masks. We will not make children wear masks. So if your children are coming to school here tomorrow, they don't have to wear masks. So I've already seen some schools and school districts do that. So that's good news for the state of Louisiana. Although, you know, I'm looking at Coleman over here while I'm talking about this, and he lives on the West Bank, and Coleman says that hardly anybody wears masks over there anyways, and so this is no big deal for you.
Funny story. So yesterday when I was scrolling through my Facebook feed while sitting on the throne, I saw, you know, the big graphic of John Bell Edwards saying, hey, the mask mandate has been lifted. And I said, wait, there was a mask mandate? I didn't even realize that there was a state mask mandate because everywhere I've been going, it's like nothing, like there's no coronavirus.
Yeah, you said that a few times on the show, how where you live on the West Bank, every place you go, there's your life hasn't changed.
No,
see,
not at all.
Here in the city of New Orleans, where I live, it's been a lockdown. Yeah. I mean, an absolute lockdown. You can't go in anywhere without a mask, b your vaccination card, or a negative COVID test in the last 72 hours. We're locked down here in the city, yet you leave the city of New Orleans, it's as if life has been normal.
Well, it depends on how you live your life in New Orleans, too, because I've been to Bourbon Street a few times, and once again, like nothing ever happened. I guess I'm just lucky. Nobody ever stopped and asked me for my mask. Nobody ever stopped and asked me for a card. I just went to Bourbon Street this weekend and got a hand grenade and a shot of Jaeger, and it was just like nothing.
So you walked into a bar on Bourbon Street and you didn't have a mask on?
Nope.
Wow. You see, what I've noticed is some places really, really do enforce this lockdown. And then there are other places that don't. I've gone to both.
It kind of depends on where you go and how cool they are. So,
meanwhile, even though the governor lifted the mask mandate for the state of Louisiana yesterday, here in the city of New Orleans, we still have it. I know it sucks. They want to see the coronavirus numbers after the crew of Boo Halloween parade last weekend, and that's still going to take a few more days. I want it over. I want to be able to go to the places that I've always normally gone to go eat lunch, and I can't because there are some restaurants here in New Orleans that will not let people in. They'll keep their drive-through open. They'll let people do that, but because they don't have employees inside that they want checking people's vaccination cards, they haven't opened their dining rooms. Their dining rooms have been closed for a while, and it stinks. I just want life to get back to the way it was.
Well, all you have to do is move to Jefferson Parish. Be like nothing ever happened.
You know, out in California, In-N-Out Burger, which is a fantastic burger. It'd be great if they came to New Orleans or Louisiana, but the problem is they're out west because their beef, their cows are out west, and they want to keep everything fresh. They freeze no meat at In-N-Out Burger. But In-N-Out Burger in California, they said, you know, our workers, you know, we're not healthcare workers. We're not here to check on people's vaccination cards. So a few In-N-Out Burgers were shut down by the state of California. They were only allowed to keep their drive-through open because they didn't want their employees having to check the vaccination cards or the negative COVID tests from the last 72 hours. So, you know, this is happening all over the place. But good news yesterday, as our Governor John Taco Bell Edwards, he lifted the mask mandate
that I didn't even know existed.
And now it's, again, it's still in place for the kids, students in school, kindergarten through 12th grade, although it's up to their schools now. Their school can say, you don't have to wear the masks if you don't want. And I can't wait until they say that here in the city of New Orleans. But during this whole thing, the city of New Orleans has always been a little bit behind the state of Louisiana. And I wonder if this means the mayor, Letaxa Cantrell, thinks the residents of this city, which I am one, thinks we're stupid.
I don't think that. I think that she just likes the power and the control to be able to say what can and can't lock down, what phases they in. I think she doesn't want to relinquish that.
All right. Coming up on the show, something just happened in the state of Florida that made news that I wish would happen here in the city of New Orleans. I'm going to tell you what that is next, this morning's Big O segment, here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund here. And since it's a few minutes after 7, it's time for this morning's Big O. The Big O is something I always want to get your take on. And yesterday, in the state of Florida, their governor, Ron DeSantis, offered $5,000 bonuses for police officers to relocate to Florida.
Cha-ching.
The state of Florida needs cops. So, look, if you want to be a police officer anywhere in the state of Florida, you move here. And if you become a police officer, we will give you $5,000 just to start. The reason I brought that up is because here in the city of New Orleans, we've been, now it's over 500 police officers short of a full police force for upwards of a decade now. And that's all because of a federal consent decree. But the city has done nothing to try to get the police force full again, the police force whole again. And, I mean, just this past Saturday night, we had our first parade in over a year and a half, the Crew of Boo Halloween Parade, and they didn't have enough New Orleans police officers to work that parade. They had a it couldn't hit Canal Street like it normally does. Why is it that the state of Florida can get cops? Because think about it, $5,000. That's a it's a pretty good incentive to go. I mean, think about any job. If there was, because our country right now, because of the pandemic, is short on workers all over the country. And think about it. If people in charge said, "Boy, I need employees. How am I going to get employees? I know. I'll give them $5,000 if they come and they work for me." Wouldn't that fill up their businesses? You think most people would like to get a check for $5,000?
What makes you think we have the money, though, John?
Well, this city is always saying it's broke, Coleman. But, I mean, the city just got, the city of New Orleans just got over $70 million from the federal government for pandemic stuff.
Okay.
So think about it. Over $70 million, you would think... We could throw some people a few bucks to become police officers. And Coleman, this has been an issue in this city for a decade, and no one in charge has done anything to replenish the New Orleans Police Department. They haven't done any. I mean, they've done squadouche, nada, nothing.
But when it comes to the money, like, we couldn't even afford. Well, the city couldn't even afford fireworks on July 4th. Will Smith had to come in and front the bill from that. So, I mean, I don't think we have the money like you think we do. Even though they got this whatever $1 million, probably going into some other stuff, you know, that we don't know about because we don't look at their books, but maybe they're strapped for cash. And then you have to think about who really wants to be a cop in New Orleans. I know I wouldn't want that type of job, even if you gave me all the incentives in the world, because it is a dangerous job.
Well, look, you and I never wanted to be police officers.
I was for a little while, for like 2 years, and I couldn't do it. Too much discipline involved.
There's a lot of people in our country who would love to be a cop. I know a lot of guys who would love to have that power, to have that authority. And I know police officers don't make a lot of money. I mean, they can. I mean, their starting salary, what is it, 40, 50 grand a year? But then they can work extra shifts at places that they can say, a couple nights a week, I'm gonna go to this grocery store or go over here to this place and make some extra cash.
Yeah, but at the same time, what about their morale? Because for the Crew of Boo, they had an opportunity to make extra cash, but not too many cops signed up.
They didn't sign up.
So once again, you have to think about morale. You have to think about the incentives that they want. You have to think about who really wants to be a cop. There's so many factors involved about why we're short on police officers that goes more beyond how much money they make.
And again, I know cops don't make that much money. But what they do make, what they do get, if they are on the job for 20 years and they retire, they get retirement. And that's something right now, Coleman, you and I, we're not going to get retirement. And that's a nice paycheck when you're done working, that there's money that's coming in. There's a lot of cops who become cops for that reason, because they know that they will have money coming in when they retire. But I think, Coleman, the leaders in New Orleans, and again, this has been going on for a decade, we've been this short on cops. They need to do whatever it takes to get a full police force. Because right now they're so short on cops in New Orleans that if you get carjacked, you're wasting your time if you call the New Orleans police. Because they'll tell you, we don't have anybody to come help you with your stolen vehicle. That's happened time and time and time and time again. We've done stories on that. I remember that one story we did. Guy left his cell phone in the car. He called the cops. Someone just stole my car. I know exactly where it is because my cell phone is in it and it's got the GPS. And cops never came to him. And we just do not have enough people.
And
that is not fair. That is not right for the people who live in the city of New Orleans. It's wrong.
And then we've also done stories, John, where the cops are afraid to be cops because their hands are tied. They can't really be police officers in a full capacity because they get in trouble these days for any little thing that the public can view as, you know, that's brutality, or that's this, or that's abuse of power and things of that nature. So most cops are like, you know, I would want to do this, but if I do, I may get in trouble.
Across Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund here. And since it's a few minutes after 7, it's time for this morning's Big O.
Oh. Oh.
The Big O is something I always want to get your take on. And yesterday, in the state of Florida, their governor, Ron DeSantis, offered $5,000 bonuses for police officers to relocate to Florida.
Cha-ching.
The state of Florida needs cops. So, yeah, look, if you want to be a police officer anywhere in the state of Florida, you move here. And if you become a police officer, we will give you $5,000 just to start. The reason I brought that up is because here in the city of New Orleans, we've been, now it's over 500 police officers short of a full police force for upwards of a decade now. And that's all because of a federal consent decree. But the city has done nothing to try to get the police force full again, the police force whole again. And, I mean, just this past Saturday night, we had our first parade in over a year and a half. The crew of Boo Halloween Parade, and they didn't have enough New Orleans police officers to work that parade. They had it couldn't hit Canal Street like it normally does. Why is it that the state of Florida can get cops Because think about it. $5,000. That's a, it's a pretty good incentive to go. I mean, think about any job. If there was, because our country right now, because of the pandemic, is short on workers all over the country. And think about it. If people in charge said, "Boy, I need employees. How am I going to get employees? I know I'll give them $5,000 if they come and they work for me." Wouldn't that fill up their businesses? You think most people would like to get a check for $5,000?
What makes you think we have the money, though, John?
Well, the city is always saying it's broke, Coleman. But, I mean, the city just got, the city of New Orleans just got over $70 million from the federal government for pandemic stuff.
Okay.
So think about it. Over $70 million, you would think... We could throw some people a few bucks to become police officers. And Coleman, this has been an issue in this city for a decade, and no one in charge has done anything to replenish the New Orleans Police Department. They haven't done any. I mean, they've done squadouche, nada, nothing.
But when it comes to the money, like, we couldn't even afford. Well, the city couldn't even afford fireworks on July 4th. Will Smith had to come in and front the bill from that. So, I mean, I don't think we have the money like you think we do. Even though they got this whatever $1 million, probably going into some other stuff, you know, that we don't know about because we don't look at their books, but maybe they're strapped for cash. And then you have to think about who really wants to be a cop in New Orleans. I know I wouldn't want that type of job, even if you gave me all the incentives in the world, because it is a dangerous job.
Well, look, you and I never wanted to be police officers.
I was for a little while, for like 2 years, and I couldn't do it. Too much discipline involved.
There's a lot of people in our country who would love to be a cop. I know a lot of guys who would love to have that power, to have that authority. And I know police officers don't make a lot of money. I mean, they can. I mean, their starting salary, what is it, 40, 50 grand a year? But then they can work extra shifts at places that they can say, a couple nights a week, I'm going to go to this grocery store or go over here to this place and make some extra cash.
Yeah, but at the same time, what about their morale? Because for the crew of Boo, they had an opportunity to make extra cash, but not too many cops signed up.
They didn't sign up.
So once again, you have to think about morale. You have to think about the incentives that they want. You have to think about who really wants to be a cop. There's so many factors involved about why we're short on police officers that goes more beyond how much money they make.
And again, I know cops don't make that much money. But what they do make, what they do get, if they are on the job for 20 years and they retire, they get retirement. And that's something right now, Coleman, you and I, we're not going to get retirement. And that's a nice paycheck when you're done working. That there's money that's coming in. There's a lot of cops who become cops for that reason, because they know that they will have money coming in when they retire. But I think, Coleman, the leaders in New Orleans, and again, this has been going on for a decade, we've been this short on cops. They need to to do whatever it takes to get a full police force. Because right now they're so short on cops in New Orleans that if you get carjacked, you're wasting your time if you call the New Orleans police. Because they'll tell you, we don't have anybody to come help you with your stolen vehicle. That's happened time and time and time and time again. We've done stories on that. I remember that one story we did. Guy left his cell phone in the car. He called the cops. Someone just stole my car. I know exactly where it is because my cell phone is in it and it's got the GPS. And cops never came to him. And we just do not have enough people.
And that
is not fair. That is not right for the people who live in the city of New Orleans. It's wrong.
And then we've also done stories, John, where the cops are afraid to be cops because their hands are tied. They can't really be police officers in the full capacity because they get in trouble these days for any little thing that the public can view as, you know, that's brutality, or that's this, or that's abuse of power and things of that nature. So most cops are like, you know, I would want to do this, but if I do, I may get in trouble for crossing a certain line.
But I never remember in my life up until now, the last few years, where you can't find enough cops to work in a city. You just can't. And I saw what they're doing in the state of Florida, and boy, $5,000 in cash, I think that would go a long way to get the New Orleans Police Department to the numbers that they need to be at. Their goal is to have 1,600 cops. I think we're under 1,100 now. So we're not even close to having a full police force. Some of the reasons you gave, Coleman, the morale isn't great. You go back a year or so, a year or two, and you look at how police officers are being treated by many people in this country, not good. But I've never seen this in any other city. I've never seen this anywhere else in the United States where we are so many cops short and we are unable to get to the number of police officers that we need. That's only here in New Orleans. I don't see that anywhere else in the United States. If you're listening right now, what does the city of New Orleans have to do to get a full police force? I mean, would paying people $5,000 even before they start, that would have to help, wouldn't it? Text us, 504-260-9595. Keep your text short, one or two sentences. If it's good, we will read it coming up next on the show. And please never text while you're driving. Oh, what does the city of New Orleans have to do to get a full police force? And why is this only happening here in the city of New Orleans when it comes to cops? It doesn't happen anywhere else. And again, this has been going on for a decade now, and no one in charge has done a damn thing to help replenish the New Orleans police force. Your text on that coming up next. We still got other things we got to get to. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only. Classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only. Classic rock station. I've seen where a bunch of pumpkins have been stolen from pumpkin patches all over the country as we get close to Halloween. Police hope to recover the pumpkins before they go under the knife to change their appearance. Hey, coming up next on the show, your texts on what the New Orleans, what the city of New Orleans needs to do to get a full police force. She's talking about how in Florida, the governor there has offered $5,000 to anybody that wants to relocate to Florida and become a cop there. I mean, why can't we do that here? Why have we been over 500 cops short of a full police force for a decade? And nobody in leadership around here has done anything about that. It's a pretty big issue, isn't it? Your texts on that are next here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund with you. Hey, do you know how the Guinness Book of World Records started? The director of Guinness Breweries had an argument with someone back in 1951 over which game bird is faster, the golden plover or the red grouse. So these guys got in an argument over that. And the director of Guinness Breweries thought there should be a book to help settle arguments, bar arguments. So he created the Guinness Book of World Records. By the way, the faster bird is the golden plover. That game bird is faster than the red grouse. But that's what happened. An argument in 1951 led to the Guinness Book of World Records. If you're just joining us, this morning's Big O segment is about how in the state of Florida, their governor, Ron DeSantis, is offering $5,000 for people to relocate to the state of Florida and become cops. They obviously need police officers in different parts of the state of Florida. Well, we need police officers here in New Orleans, again, for about 10 years, about a decade. We've been 500 cops short. We're now more than 500 cops short. They want to have 1,600 cops on the New Orleans police force. They barely have 1,100 now, if they do. And it's something that has been an issue in this city, again, for at least the last 10 years, because of a federal consent decree. But why haven't any of the leaders here in the city of New Orleans done anything to help replenish the New Orleans police force? Boy, $5,000 would help, wouldn't it? And I asked you to text us your thoughts.
Palmer says, the city/state needs to be revitalized before it can show any positive growth. Its systemic lethargy and complacency coupled with confusing holding on traditions and heritage is stifling progress.
Systemic lethargy. Wow.
Very wordy. This text says, the city of New Orleans needs better leaders. You can't expect very much when you're led by tax cheats and addicts. This text says, the city can't pay for potholes and fix red lights. Tommy D says, it's a nice incentive, but $5,000 isn't enough for me to relocate and leave my family and friends. This text says, so you're short 500 police officers. At $5,000, that's $2.5 million bonuses. The mayor is not getting up off that money.
I just mentioned, and I know the city of New Orleans, we hear it all the time, is broke, especially into this pandemic. They weren't getting the tax money, nearly the tax money that they were getting, but they've always said they were broke. We just got, I think, $70-something million from the federal government because of the pandemic. We've always got our hands out collecting money from the federal government here in this country. Don't you think we could use some of that money to
that money's probably already gone. This text says, John, nobody wants to work for the NOPD because they have no backing from the top brass. The NOPD is hiring civil employees to hold enforcement positions. This text says, the problems with the police starts from the top. The mayor, my NOPD friends say morale is down because the last two mayors were being too involved in the goings-ons of law enforcement and not leaving it up to the police to do the police work. Mark in Mandeville says, pay is important, but complete support from the mayor, the council, and the DA's office that aggressively prosecutes criminals is a key factor, too.
And they don't have that right now with the district attorney. I mean, he's not prosecuting 50% of the people arrested by the New Orleans police. I know that. And look, I know cops. And if you're just joining us, we said this when we started this morning's Big O segment. I know they don't make a lot of money, but what they do make is retirement. You hold the job for 20 years, then you get a paycheck for the rest of your life until you die. So that's why they don't get a huge salary. They get enough to live on, and they get retirement.
This text says, the country is not short on workers. It's short on businesses paying a decent wage.
All right.
And this last text says, you should look up Chicago's police situation. It's way worse.
Well, I know that I know there's a bunch of cops in Chicago that are leaving because they don't want to get vaccinated. I know that, but I don't think the Chicago police force is in worse shape when it comes to manpower than the New Orleans police force. So, but you would think that would be a priority to get a full police force. But again, a long time has gone by, and none of the leaders here have done anything to try to get the New Orleans police force where it needs to be. All right, coming up on the show, I still got the dumbest thing I read all morning. And coming up next, this was interesting. Google just announced that the 90s are the most searched decade lately when people go to Google. And people Google things when people Google decades. Why is that? Well, I've got some reasons why people love the 90s. That's coming up next here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund here with you. According to Google Trends, Americans are currently Googling the 1990s more than any other decade.
You know why I find that funny? Because the 90s were so close to Google that you would think the people that would be Googling the 90s would have a memory of how the 90s were. You would think they want to Google something that they weren't around for, like the 50s or the 40s or the 30s.
There's probably a lot of young Google users, Coleman, who are Googling the 1990s. And I love the 90s. And I think most Americans, most of America love the 90s.
I thought it was pretty cool.
I had a blast from what I remember. I had a blast in the 1990s, and I've got a few reasons why we love the 1990s. Well, first and foremost, I mean, if you're a rock music fan, the rock and roll that came out of the 90s, especially the early 90s, early to mid-90s, I mean, we've been focusing on some albums here on our radio station that have just turned 30 years old because they came out in 1991. And we're talking about fantastic albums by Pearl Jam and the Red Hot Chili Peppers and
Metallica.
Metallica. I mean, the list is seemingly endless. So many fantastic rock albums came out right around the same time.
All right. So what you got from the 90s, John?
All right. So here are a few reasons why we love the 90s, why I think that Americans are Googling the 1990s more than any other decade. Well, Columbia House offered 12 compact discs for a penny.
I remember that. I remember that for magazine subscriptions.
Yeah, and then they keep sending you stuff forever.
Yeah. I think Publishing Clearing House is sort of like the same deal.
But I remember getting 12 CDs for a penny and thinking, man, yeah, I just scammed them. But then the next thing you know, every other day you go to your mailbox and there's something else from Columbia House. And, well, you got to buy this or you should buy that or buy that.
Were the CDs censored version or they were like the real actual CDs that they sent? Because I'd never done it. I remember the promotion, but I'd never gave them a penny for 12 CDs.
Well, if it was the authentic compact disc, it would have the warning label on it from the PMRC. So that's one reason why we love the 90s. I mean, who couldn't love 12 compact discs for a penny? Another reason why we love the 90s, Martin Scorsese made mobster movies that were under 6 hours. later on in his life, he had a tough time doing. You got to keep him a little bit.
That was brutal.
A little bit shorter. I mean, I'm a big Martin Scorsese fan. He's probably my favorite. You know the way Martin Scorsese uses music in his movies, especially rock music? He's a huge Rolling Stones fan. I mean, the way when you're watching Goodfellas and you hear all of a sudden Layla comes in. I mean, every time I hear that song to this day, I think of that scene in Goodfellas when I started finding all of the dead bodies.
Yeah, I think Scorsese's last Netflix one was clocking in at around 5 hours and something minutes.
Mm. Here's another reason why we love the 1990s. Thanks to grunge music, we could skip taking showers and call it trendy. You know, that was the biggest difference the second biggest difference between the 80s rock and the 90s rock. You know, the 80s rock, the guys looked stupid. They with the makeup and the hair and the outfits. But you'd go to shows, me at least, in the late 80s, and my God, were the girls gorgeous. And they were clean, and they smelt clean. All of a sudden, once Nirvana makes it big, and then Pearl Jam and Alice in Chains and all those other bands, you'd go to shows like that. People just looked dirtier. They smelled dirtier. I mean, even the women, it's like, hey, ladies, you know, you don't have to look like him, too. You don't have to wear flannel shirts.
I think that one stuck around because we've been hearing about a lot of celebrities who brag about skipping showers and brag about not washing their kids' ass.
You're right about that. Another reason why we love the 90s, cultural appropriation wasn't a thing idiots could use to ruin the Beastie Boys. Because the Beastie Boys would have never been able to make it these days because people would have said, that's cultural appropriation. Those are white guys, Jewish guys, who are stealing from black guys.
I'm going to have to disagree with that because isn't that rock and roll in general? Isn't the rumor, oh, white people got rock and roll from all the black people? But rock bands still made it big. And then even after the Beastie Boys, you still had your Eminems, you still had your Bubba Sparks,
But when rock and roll made it big, there was no such thing as cultural appropriation
yet.
That's true. It wasn't a thing that people said, now, my God. I mean, a white person can't even take a picture with their hair braided.
I know, man. You have to see these videos on YouTube where people finally see the Bee Gees for the first time.
Another reason why we love the 90s is that we could watch Tom Cruise and Renee Zellweger in a movie without asking, what's wrong with their face?
Stop.
I mean Renee Zellweger does not look like she always used to look. And I just saw a picture of Tom Cruise at a baseball playoff game. You talk about his whole face being puffed out.
Well, that's happens when you have too many calories in Botox.
Another reason why we love the 90s is that we spent half of that decade without ever hearing the name Kardashian.
You know, you had an advantage over me in the 90s because you were an adult in the 90s and I wasn't. So I couldn't really get, like, even though I love the 90s, I love it for different reasons, like not having to pay bills because I was still staying at my mom's house, having certain freedoms. But I would have loved to have been in the 90s and be a grown-ass man with my own money and enjoying life.
It was a good time. It was a real good time. And finally, another reason why we love the 90s and a reason why, according to Google Trends, Americans are currently Googling the 1990s more than any other decade. It wasn't so cringy when Madonna got naked.
Is it cringy now, though? I mean, if she wants to get naked. Dude, these celebrities look good for their age. You can't lie, John. If Madonna wanted to get naked right now, I'd probably take a peek.
That is one thing that's better about the 2020s than the 1990s, is that older people definitely don't look as old now like they did in the 90s.
And the cool thing about it, you know, for those who either missed the 90s or want to know more about the 90s, if we wait about 70 more years, it'll be the 90s again. So just hang in there.
So those are some reasons why we love the 90s here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only. Classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Hey, you see what house is on the market? You see what house is for sale? But there's one catch. If you like the movie Nightmare on Elm Street, that house is for sale. But it's not at 1428 Elm Street in the state of Ohio like it is in the movie. It's really in a part of Los Angeles. It's on North Genesee Avenue in Los Angeles. It's a three-bedroom house. It's got 3.5 bathrooms. And it's on sale right now for $3.25 million. I mean, if you think that's expensive... It is, but this is Los Angeles. It is a decent neighborhood. I've been there. I've been by that house before.
Is it on Elm Street?
No, it's North Genesee Avenue.
Okay. I wonder how many people that were interested in the house are going to have buyer's remorse because it wasn't in Ohio like they thought it was. Like, I would love to live in that house in Ohio in the middle of nowhere to come to find out it's in Los Angeles, California.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, this house isn't that far from the Happy Days house from that TV show. And that was supposed to be somewhere up north, but that was in Los Angeles too. So many of the television and movie houses are in Los Angeles. But yeah, it's for sale, but there's one catch. You've got to buy it by Halloween, before Halloween's over. Yeah.
That's creepy.
You have until Halloween to buy it. So,
would you live in the Nightmare on Elm Street house?
I'd live in that house because that's a movie.
there's a difference between that and a real life horror house.
The Conjuring House.
Where, yeah, where people have been really killed inside those homes. I wouldn't want to live in those homes. But to be honest with you, if I had an extra $3.25 million, I'd buy the Nightmare on Elm Street house in Los Angeles.
But here's what you do. After you buy it, you make it a tourist attraction. See, that way you get that money back. You just have people come over and they get to see your house for about $20-$30 or something like that and put a gift shop in the garage.
Yeah, it's not just a home. It's an income opportunity.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, anyways, it'll be interesting to see if that house sells on or by Halloween. Coming up next, it's the dumbest thing I read all morning, and I couldn't believe this. This is so dumb that it explains why this story happened in the first place. That's how dumb this person is. You'll hear it next on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning, J.O. here with you. And it's that time of our show where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. Coleman, I know we do this segment every day on our show. Some days are dumber than others. This may be the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
Okay.
And that's saying something. Hiker lost on mountain for 24 hours, ignored phone calls from rescuers because he didn't recognize their phone number. Now, I have said several times on this show, the one thing I love about cell phones is you can see who's calling you, so right. You don't have to answer the phone. The thing I don't like about cell phones, I miss the days when I could get in my car and just drive away from either the house or the office and just drive, and nobody could ever get in touch with you.
And it would be normal because they figured out he's probably at work, or maybe he'll call me back tomorrow. Nobody wanted that immediate response, like, text me back right now or call me. Why aren't you answering your phone?
Yeah, the one thing I love about cell phones is that when it rings or it makes that noise, whatever you want to call it,
mm-hmm.
that someone is calling me, and I look at it, I know who, and if I don't recognize the number, they can always leave a message at voicemail, and then if it's important, I'll hear it. But this guy was lost in the mountains. He's a hiker. He was lost for 24 hours. And he still ignored the phone calls coming onto his cell phone because he didn't recognize the phone number.
It didn't sound like he was lost to me. It sounded like he was enjoying himself.
The hiker was reported missing last week after never returned from a trek on Mount Ebert in Colorado. By the way, that's the highest summit of the Rocky Mountains.
Yeah, I hear everybody in Colorado is pretty high.
Smoke weed every day.
After an unsuccessful search of an area where hikers typically get lost, rescue crews learned that the lost individual had returned to their place of lodging. So they were out looking for him, and he found his way back. But it says here in the report of the incident, one notable takeaway is that the subject ignored repeated phone calls from us because they didn't recognize the number.
See, that leads me to believe, once again, he didn't feel like he was in any trouble. Because if you were in real life trouble and you were scared and you were panicking, you would answer any phone number that went through. And the fact that they can call him means that he could have called out. That means if he was okay, he can call out and say, hey, guys, I'm all right. But he just ignored the phone altogether. His phone was working, so he didn't think to call anybody to let people know that he was okay. So I'm assuming in his brain, he thought everything was fine.
The hiker claimed got lost when it got dark, and that he finally reached the car the next morning. So you did stay out all night in the hills. But imagine your phone is ringing. You stayed overnight. So at some point late at night, your phone's ringing, and you don't recognize the number, and you decide because of that reason I'm not answering the phone, even though I'm in the mountains here and it's the middle of the night.
That's how much people are afraid of scam callers. Imagine you just got shot, you just got robbed, or your house is on fire, and somebody's calling you. Be like, nah, I don't feel like talking to these people. It might be somebody asking for my extended warranty. I'll just bleed out. That is hilarious.
Yeah, this is, I've never seen anything like this before. This hiker was lost on a mountain for around 24 hours. But he still had some battery power in his cell phone, and he wouldn't answer the phone. And you know, the rescuers are saying, please, for God's sake, answer your phone if you're lost in the mountains while you're taking a hike.
Yeah, they should be able to ping the phone, though, like ping their location and use the GPS.
Well, I'm glad everybody's all right, except for the rescuers are pissed. But other than that, boy, you would have thought that this hiker would have pushed accept the first second that phone rang, even though he didn't know the number, because there he is in the mountains, and he didn't know where he was. Anyways, the hiker who was lost on a mountain for 24 hours and ignored phone calls from rescuers because he didn't recognize the phone number. That's the dumbest thing I read all morning. There are levels of dumbness in this segment. And this went to a level that we don't reach very often.
Well, at least he didn't search for himself like that one guy that got drunk in the woods and joined his own search party to look for himself.
That's right. That I remember. I hear on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Do you know it's the commercial-free ride? Just started. It's right now. Right now is the commercial-free ride here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund here with you. According to Google Trends, Americans are currently Googling the 1990s more than any other decade.
You know why I find that funny? Because the 90s were so close to Google that you would think the people that would be Googling the 90s would have a memory of how the 90s were. You would think they want to Google something that they weren't around for, like the 50s or the 40s or the 30s.
There's probably a lot of young Google users, Coleman, who are Googling the 1990s. And I love the 90s, and I think most Americans, most of America, love the 90s.
I thought it was pretty cool.
I thought I had a blast. From what I remember, I had a blast in the 1990s, and I've got a few reasons why we love the 1990s. Well, first and foremost, I mean, if you're a rock music fan, the rock and roll that came out of the 90s, especially the early 90s, early to mid 90s. I mean, we've been focusing on some albums here on our radio station that have just turned 30 years old because they came out in 1991. And we're talking about fantastic albums by Pearl Jam and the Red Hot Chili Peppers and
Metallica.
I mean, the list is seemingly endless. So many fantastic rock albums came out right around the same time.
All right. So what you got from the 90s, John?
All right. So here are a few reasons why we love the 90s, why I think that Americans are Googling the 1990s more than any other decade. Well, Columbia House offered 12 compact discs for a penny.
I remember that. I remember that for magazine subscriptions.
Yeah, and then they keep sending you stuff forever.
Yeah. I think Publishing Clearinghouse is sort of like the same deal.
But I remember getting 12 CDs for a penny and thinking, man, yeah, I just scammed them. But then the next thing you know, every other day you go to your mailbox and there's something else from Columbia House. And, well, you got to buy this or you should buy that or buy that.
Were the CDs censored version or they were like the real actual CDs that they sent? Because I'd never done it. I remember the promotion, but I'd never gave them a penny for 12 CDs.
Well, if it was the authentic compact disc, it would have the warning label on it from the PMRC. So that's one reason why we love the 90s. I mean, who couldn't love 12 compact discs for a penny? Another reason why we love the 90s, Martin Scorsese made mobster movies that were under 6 hours. later on in his life, he had a tough time doing. You got to keep him a little bit.
That was brutal.
A little bit shorter. I mean, I'm a big Martin Scorsese fan. He's probably my favorite. You know the way Martin Scorsese uses music in his movies, especially rock music? He's a huge Rolling Stones fan. I mean, the way when you're watching Goodfellas and you hear all of a sudden Layla comes in. I mean, every time I hear that song to this day, I think of that scene in Goodfellas when I started finding all of the dead bodies.
Yeah, I think Scorsese's last Netflix one was clocking in at around 5 hours and something minutes.
Mm. Here's another reason why we love the 1990s. Thanks to grunge music, we could skip taking showers and call it trendy. You know, that was the biggest difference the second biggest difference between the 80s rock and the 90s rock. You know, the 80s rock, the guys looked stupid. They with the makeup and the hair and the outfits. But you'd go to shows, me at least, in the late 80s, and my God, were the girls gorgeous. And they were clean, and they smelt clean. All of a sudden, once Nirvana makes it big, and then Pearl Jam and Alice in Chains and all those other bands, you'd go to shows like that. People just looked dirtier. They smelled dirtier. I mean, even the women. It's like, hey, ladies, you know, you don't have to look like him too. You don't have to wear flannel shirts.
I think that one stuck around because we've been hearing about a lot of celebrities who brag about skipping showers and brag about not washing their kids' ass.
You're right about that. Another reason why we love the 90s, cultural appropriation wasn't a thing idiots could use to ruin the Beastie Boys. Because the Beastie Boys would have never been able to make it these days because people would have said, that's cultural appropriation. Those are white guys, Jewish guys, who are stealing from black guys.
I'm going to have to disagree with that because isn't that rock and roll in general? Isn't the rumor, oh, white people got rock and roll from all the black people? But rock bands still made it big. And then even after the Beastie Boys, you still had your Eminems. You still had your Bubba Sparks.
But when rock and roll made it big, there was no such thing as cultural appropriation
yet.
That's true. It wasn't a thing that people said, now... My God. I mean, a white person can't even take a picture with their hair braided.
I know, man. You have to see these videos on YouTube where people finally see the Bee Gees for the first time.
another reason why we love the 90s is that we could watch Tom Cruise and Renee Zellweger in a movie without asking, what's wrong with their face?
Stop.
I mean Renee Zellweger does not look like she always used to look. And I just saw a picture of Tom Cruise at a baseball playoff game. You talk about his whole face being puffed out.
Well, that's happens when you have too many calories in Botox.
Another reason why we love the 90s is that we spent half of that decade without ever hearing the name Kardashian.
You know, you had an advantage over me in the 90s because you were an adult in the 90s and I wasn't. So I couldn't really get, like, even though I love the 90s, I love it for different reasons, like not being, like not having to pay bills because I was still staying at my mom's house, having certain freedoms. But I would have loved to have been in the 90s and be a grown-ass man with my own money and enjoying life.
It was a good time. it was a real good time. And finally, another reason why we love the 90s and a reason why, according to Google Trends, Americans are currently Googling the 1990s more than any other decade. It wasn't so cringy when Madonna got naked.
Is it cringy now, though? I mean, if she wants to get naked. Dude, these celebrities look good for their age. You can't lie, John. If Madonna wanted to get naked right now, I'd probably take a peek.
That is one thing that's better about the 2020s than the 1990s, is that older people definitely don't look as old now like they did in the 90s.
And the cool thing about it, you know, for those who either missed the 90s or want to know more about the 90s, if we wait about 70 more years, it'll be the 90s again. So just hang in there.
So those are some reasons why we love the 90s here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only. Classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Hey, you see what house is on the market? You see what house is for sale? But there's one catch. If you like the movie Nightmare on Elm Street, that house is for sale. But it's not at 1428 Elm Street in the state of Ohio like it is in the movie. It's really in a part of Los Angeles. It's on North Genesee Avenue in Los Angeles. It's a three-bedroom house. It's got 3.5 bathrooms. And it's on sale right now for $3.25 million. I mean, if you think that's expensive, it is, but this is Los Angeles. It is a decent neighborhood. I've been there. I've been by that house before.
Is it on Elm Street?
No, it's North Genesee Avenue.
Okay. I wonder how many people that were interested in the house are going to have buyer's remorse because it wasn't in Ohio like they thought it was. Like, I would love to live in that house in Ohio in the middle of nowhere to come to find out it's in Los Angeles, California.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, this house isn't that far from the Happy Days house from that TV show. And that was supposed to be somewhere up north, but that was in Los Angeles too. So many of the television and movie houses are in Los Angeles. But yeah, it's for sale, but there's one catch. You've got to buy it by Halloween, before Halloween's over. Yeah.
That's creepy.
You have until Halloween to buy it. So,
would you live in the Nightmare on Elm Street house?
I'd live in that house because that's a movie. There's a difference between that and a real-life horror house.
The Conjuring house?
Where people have been really killed inside those homes. I wouldn't want to live in those homes. But to be honest with you, if I had an extra $3.25 million, I'd buy the Nightmare on Elm Street house in Los Angeles.
But here's what you do. After you buy it, you make it a tourist attraction. See, that way you get that money back. You just have people come over and they get to see your house for about $20-$30 or something like that and have a, put a gift shop in the garage.
Yeah, it's not just a home. It's an income opportunity.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, anyways, it'll be interesting to see if that house sells on or by Halloween. Coming up next, it's the dumbest thing I read all morning, and I couldn't believe this. This is so dumb that it explains why this story happened in the first place. That's how dumb this person is. You'll hear it next on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning, J.O. here with you. And it's that time of our show where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. Coleman, I know we do this segment every day on our show. Some days are dumber than others. This may be the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
Okay.
And that's saying something. Hiker lost on mountain for 24 hours, ignored phone calls from rescuers because he didn't recognize their phone number. Now, I have said several times on this show, the one thing I love about cell phones is you can see who's calling you, so right. You don't have to answer the phone. The thing I don't like about cell phones, I miss the days when I could get in my car and just drive away from either the house or the office and just drive, and nobody could ever get in touch with you.
And it would be normal because they figured out he's probably at work, or maybe he'll call me back tomorrow. Nobody wanted that immediate response, like, text me back right now or call me. Why aren't you answering your phone?
Yeah, the one thing I love about cell phones is that when it rings or it makes that noise, whatever you want to call it,
mm-hmm.
that someone is calling me, and I look at it, I know who, and if I don't recognize the number, they can always leave a message at voicemail, and then if it's important, I'll hear it. But this guy was lost in the mountains. He's a hiker. He was lost for 24 hours, and he still ignored the phone calls coming onto his cell phone because he didn't recognize the phone number.
It didn't sound like he was lost to me. It sounded like he was enjoying himself.
The hiker was reported missing last week after never returned from a trek on Mount Ebert in Colorado. By the way, that's the highest summit of the Rocky Mountains.
Yeah, I hear everybody in Colorado is pretty high.
Smoke weed every day.
After an unsuccessful search of an area where hikers typically get lost, rescue crews learned that the lost individual had returned to their place of lodging. So they were out looking for him, and he found his way back. But it says here in the report of the incident, one notable takeaway is that the subject ignored repeated phone calls from us because they didn't recognize the number.
See, that leads me to believe, once again, he didn't feel like he was in any trouble. Because if you were in real life trouble and you were scared and you were panicking, you would answer any phone number that went through. And the fact that they can call him means that he could have called out. That means if he was okay, he can call out and say, hey, guys, I'm all right. But he just ignored the phone altogether. His phone was working, so he didn't think to call anybody to let people know that he was okay. So I'm assuming in his brain, he thought everything was fine.
The hiker claimed got lost when it got dark, and that he finally reached the car the next morning. So he did stay out all night in the hills. But imagine your phone is ringing. You stayed overnight. So at some point late at night, your phone's ringing, and you don't recognize the number. and you decide because of that reason, I'm not answering the phone, even though I'm in the mountains here and it's the middle of the night.
That's how much people are afraid of scam callers. Imagine you just got shot. You just got robbed or your house is on fire and somebody's calling you. Be like, nah, I don't feel like talking to these people. It might be somebody asking for my extended warranty. I'll just bleed out. That's hilarious.
Yeah, this is, I've never seen anything like this before. This hiker was lost on a mountain for around 24 hours. But he still had some battery power in his cell phone, and he wouldn't answer the phone. And you know, the rescuers are saying, please, for God's sake, answer your phone if you're lost in the mountains while you're taking a hike.
Yeah, they should be able to ping the phone, though, like ping their location and use the GPS.
Well, I'm glad everybody's all right, except for the rescuers are pissed. But other than that, boy, you would have thought that this hiker would have pushed accept the first second that phone rang, even though he didn't know the number, because there he is in the mountains and he didn't know where he was. Anyways, the hiker who was lost on a mountain for 24 hours and ignored phone calls from rescuers because he didn't recognize the phone number. That's the dumbest thing I read all morning. There are levels of dumbness in this segment. And this went to a level that we don't reach very often.
Well, at least he didn't search for himself like that one guy that got drunk in the woods and joined his own search party to look for himself.
That's right. That I remember. I hear on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Do you know it's the commercial-free ride? Just started. It's right now. Right now is the commercial-free ride here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.